Acts chapter 1. Boy, isn't the Lord Jesus worthy? He is absolutely worthy of our praise, of our honor, of our life. Everything we do, we think about the Lamb of God tonight as He laid His life on Calvary's cross for our sin. What a Savior. What a Savior. Well, as we continue tonight in our study through the book of Acts, we left off last week talking about the mission for the church. And we talked about the primary task. I gave you that quote from Bach. He said this, "The church's primary task is to represent God faithfully." And that is indeed what Jesus is giving the church, specifically here, the apostles, a command to go. That He would be leaving. So we see that He gives them the message. He gives them the mission. And now we're going to see tonight a bit of a motivation that He's gonna give. And so Karis is my amen corner tonight. Amen. She's a great amen. We love little Karis. She's a bundle of blessing. But we see that Jesus is truly giving a motivational truth tonight that is not just for the apostles, but it is for you and for me tonight to be encouraged by, to be motivated by, and the great task that God has set before us. I'm going to read verses 9 through 11, Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. "And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." I want to preach a message tonight entitled this, "Going Back to Glory with a Guaranteed Return." Going back to glory with a guaranteed return. You see, Jesus came the first time, and He came, and He was born of a virgin, and He lived a life in the flesh as God Himself. And he took upon a body, and He lived, and He died, and He rose again, and now He's ascended. He's at the right hand of the Father. We'll talk more about that. But then He left and went to heaven, but He's coming back. And next time, He's coming back to stay. He's not going back to glory, because He will come, and He will come for the millennial reign. And then also there will be a new heaven and new earth. And Jesus is coming back, and we will spend eternity with the Lamb of God. Is that awesome tonight to think about that? There's one thing that I want to grow in. I mean, there's so many areas we want to grow in, but one thing that I think helps me in my Christian walk more than anything, and I hate to make statements like that, because then it almost seems you belittle maybe another truth that's motivational. But one, let me just say it like this. One of the biblical truths that helps motivate me greatly in this life of mine, and I hope will motivate you too, is the fact that we will be spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. That this little speck of what we call time is truly a speck. It's a blink. And what I do here, though, for my Lord, is going to have an eternal significance. And I believe that we're going to see that tonight as the Lord will teach His disciples and, in essence, His teaching us as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us to understand His Word tonight. Lord Jesus, we know that You are there at the right hand of the Father. and you are making intercession. You are exalted in that position. And Lord, here we are here on earth, functioning by the power of your Holy Spirit. We want to exalt you tonight, Lord Jesus. We magnify you above all others. We adore you. We bow in our hearts and our heads. And Lord, if we could, we'd all lay prostrate on the floor tonight and just humble adoration at your holiness and your glory. You are awesome. You are lovely. You are perfect. You are the all-powerful God. And Lord Jesus, we look forward to you coming back. We look forward to you calling us. And then, Lord, we look forward to coming back to this earth with you. Lord Jesus, help us to understand this truth tonight by the power of your Spirit. Help us. Strengthen us. And Lord, we'll give you the glory. For it's in Jesus' name I do pray all of these things. Amen. Going back to glory with a guaranteed return. That's a comforting truth there for the disciples and for you and me tonight, that Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back and he's going to call his church. And he's not going to set foot on this earth that when he comes and calls us from the clouds, he'll just call us out of here. We're going to go up to heaven with him, and then we're going to spend that time with him during those 7 years of tribulation. We will be with him, and then we will come back. And I'm glad that he's got a guaranteed return. You know, there's something comforting about that. Just a little bit of a human illustration. It does not do the coming of Jesus any justice, I guarantee you that. But many times when Joanna is leaving the house, little Caroline voices her opinion right away. My little two-year-old, she will voice her opinion and somewhat of a protest and somewhat of a great disappointment. Mama! Don't leave! It's as if she is leaving forever. And she's convinced that mom's gone, and now here I am stuck with dad. That's supposed to be pretty bad. You know, in some way, the disciples were really sad and disappointed that Jesus was leaving. They were very concerned that he was leaving them. They had not received the exhortations. They had not received the reminders that, listen, my children, listen, men, my disciples, I am going to leave you a comforter. He had explained that to them. Remember, he took 3 chapters in the book of John to teach that to them. But their hearts were so set on the Messiah. And, I'm hesitant to be about being too hard on them, because they were in love with their Savior and the Messiah. And they were wondering about what this mission was. They did not truly understand the church age. But, oh, they will. And they would. But we see that there was a longing for him, but he's leaving now. And not only has he received words of comfort, have they received words of comfort from Jesus himself, but now they're going to receive some words of comfort from some angels. There's going to be more words of affirmation given unto these dear disciples. Let's look, starting off there in verse number 9. Verse number 9. We see when he had spoken these things. Now, what things is he referring to? Well, he's talking about the mission. He's talking about the message that for them to wait. And then he's talking about the things he went over with the mission about, hey, tarry in Jerusalem until you be baptized with the Spirit of God. And then you will go out on the mission that I've called you. So, number one, I believe the message was, again, I'm not going to spend time on these, but I'm just going to review. The message was, these things that he had spoken was, number one, stay put. Don't go anywhere. Stay put. Secondly, he said, be ready. Not only do you need to stay put, but you need to be ready. Mentally, spiritually, physically, don't leave Jerusalem. No vacations, Peter, okay? just stay right where you are. I don't know if he said that. That's just kind of a random thought. But he said for them to stay there. Don't go anywhere. You're going to be endued with power. And he said the Spirit of God is coming, the Comforter. And he will take a permanent residence in each of your lives. And so that was the things that he had spoken. And why they beheld, it says there in verse number 9, after he spoke these things, it goes on to say, why they beheld, why they were watching him and listening to him, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, what a sight that must have been. Okay? We have never witnessed anything like that, so we have to use our sanctified imaginations. But I want to tell you, as you and I are here in this service tonight, we take the Word of God to be true 100%. Amen? And it tells us that as they were talking to the Lord Jesus, and He was giving them the message and giving them the mission, Jesus started leaving. He was elevated. He was ascending. He was ascending into the air. And of course, like any of us, they would just be awestruck. Jesus is leaving. He's ascending. The Word of God doesn't say they said anything at this point. It goes several times and said they just looked. I believe that's the same thing we would have done. What you think, Brother Jeff? You think that's probably what we would have done? Amen. Brother Jake? I don't know. These guys are pretty sharp. We won't tell them what team they're on, but listen, they're ready to go at any point, okay? They're ready to go. I don't know, you fellas, some of you guys here are so Johnny on the spot, and I'm so thankful. You might have said, hold on, somebody's trying to take Jesus out of here. We don't want him leaving yet. I don't know, that might have been, but nevertheless, here's the truth, church. There's no telling what we would have done. There's no telling what we would have done when we started seeing Jesus leave. But I know one thing. These fellas here, they just gazed and they just stared. And most likely we would have done something very similar. But here's the thing. As they're watching intently and he's being received out of their sight, the Word of God says something interesting here, that they were received up by a cloud. He was received up by a cloud. Again, look in your Bibles there. It says in the end of verse 9, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now that cloud, I believe, can be symbolic of God's glory. I believe that it also gives indication of many times what God used as a vessel to bring people out of this earth. We think of Enoch, we think of Elijah, and we think of some verses in the Word of God. I may try to give you one here if we can get it. That's not gonna be real clear. I'm sorry. I'm still learning this projector, and I got to learn what letters to use and not to use. But we know that the Lord Jesus is ascending to the Father, his original home, if you will. He's going home, and he's being taken out. And where they were, and that's significant to note, they were on the Mount. He was on the Mount of Olives. We know that because of Luke chapter 24. We don't have time to look there, but if you'll remember, in Luke chapter 24, verses 50 and 51, it says they were where? They were at Bethany, which was on the east side of the Mount of Olives, the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. And so that's where they were, and that's going to be significant, because, praise God, that's where he's coming back to when he sets his feet back on the earth. But he was taken up. He was taken up by a cloud. And we see that in Scripture. Let's see if we can find it here. Not sure if I have that one. Do I have it? Yeah. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward, what is that? I can't even read that. The wilderness. And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. So many times a cloud was symbolic of God's glory. And this was indeed a glorious sight that these disciples laid eyes on. It was a glorious sight. And it was the Lord Jesus, the Savior of all the world, ascending up into heaven. And that was a sign, again, of God's glory. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, and that word steadfastly, man, they couldn't take their eyes off of him. There he goes. And they just kept gazing steadfastly toward heaven, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. That's in verse 10. All right, they're in that white apparel. Who are these two men? Well, most likely, it's two angels. The two angels, and we see a common occurrence also in the announcement of the resurrected Savior, as the disciples and the sisters in Christ would go to the tomb and find the news that He is risen. Those angels were also in white apparel, and so we see a similarity there. But these two angels have a message, and that message is found there. Look in verse 11. This is the message to the disciples. As Jesus is ascending up into heaven, this is all happening at one time, and they say with this message to these awestruck disciples, they say, "Ye men of Galilee." Now, why would they say men of Galilee? Because you'll remember, all these apostles were from that region. Okay, they were from the Galilee region, and all of them were, except for Judah, when she is not there with them at this point. And it says here, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" Now, that's a good question. Now, I believe that this question is somewhat of a kind rebuke. It's a kind rebuke. And it's a gentle rebuke, because again, we can't be too hard on them, because there's very, very likely we would have been the same response. Basically what these angels are saying, and this is very key to understanding how we should respond. They should not be surprised. They shouldn't have been surprised at this point that Jesus was ascending. He had taught them. He explained to them. And they were saying, "Why are ye still staring?" And it also carries the idea that there could, like I mentioned earlier, not only was there a fixed and steadfast stare, but there was perhaps a fixed, steadfast stare that was sad. Disappointed. Oh. When in reality, Jesus wanted them to be confident of His Word, that He was going to fulfill His promise, that He was not going to let them down, that He was going to give them the Comforter, and that He would be coming back. And these angels give, I believe, a message of comfort, but also a kind rebuke. "Why are ye gazing?" they said. Look in your Bibles there in verse 11. "Why stand ye there gazing up into heaven?" And the message here of comfort and reminder to them is this. "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in" what church? "Like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." They're saying here, this departure, listen, your Lord is coming back. But in the meantime, you need to be busy about the Lord's work. You see, again, the truth that He's going to teach in here, it's all going to come together here as Pentecost comes. The message is, the mission is at hand. It is not time to be gazing upon Jesus in an infatuation of longing for Him to stay. No, it is, "I'm leaving because it's part of the plan of God. It's part of the mission. It's part of what God has planned from eternity past. That I have to go so the Holy Spirit of God can come." And Jesus is leaving. And He wants to tell them that there's a work to do. These angels, I believe, are saying, "Don't be idle. Don't be staring. Why are you gazing? There's a work to do." And He goes on to say, as a word of comfort, "Hey, disciples, Jesus is coming back." And by the way, I do believe He's talking about here in verse 11. I do believe He's talking about His second coming, not what we would refer to as the rapture. I believe here He is talking about Jesus. The Word of God is speaking clearly that Jesus in this context, would be coming back to this location, the Mount of Olives. Go with me, if you would, to show you that. Go over to with me to the Minor Prophets of Zechariah. Zechariah, it's if you just go to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and just flip back like four pages, you'll get to Zechariah chapter 14. Just go to the last book of the Old Testament, flip back like four pages, and you'll be there. Zechariah chapter 14. Chapter 14, look what it says here in verse number 3 and 4. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, and as when He fought in the day of battle, get this, and His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. There it is. That's where He left from. That's where He's coming back to when He will rule and reign in the millennial reign. It says, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Go over there with me to Daniel. Just flip back just a little bit there, back to the book of Daniel. If you hit Ezekiel, you've gone too far. All right, just Daniel chapter number 7. Daniel chapter 7. Jesus is coming back. Look here at verse number 13 and 14. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him, and there was given Him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That is King Jesus. And that's when He will come back to this earth. And that's when He will reign again. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. Look over there with me to the book of Revelation. Just one more verse here. There's so many other verses we could look at, and I'm sure we will get to them. Revelation chapter 1. Again, not speaking of the rapture, but speaking of the second coming of Christ as He will come to this earth again. Let's just look at this one verse here. Verse 7. Again, He's leaving in the clouds, and He's going to come back in the clouds in His second coming. Just like the angel said, verse 7 says, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. They also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall well because of Him. Even so, amen. That's Jesus Christ. He's coming again. And He's coming in full power. And He will come in judgment and wrath. And these disciples at this point need to be encouraged, because Jesus is coming again. Now, should this motivate us tonight? Should the very fact, the promise of the second coming, should it motivate us tonight in our works for the Lord? Well, I believe Paul told us that it should. It should motivate us. Look with me over in Romans chapter number 13. Look with me over at Romans chapter 13 in your Bibles. I appreciate you following along with me. Just making sure I'm saying the right thing. Anytime somebody's speaking the Word of God, it's always best to follow along with them. Amen? It's just a great practice. Romans chapter number 13, the Bible says here, I believe, is a, a motivation from Paul when it comes to the coming of Christ and how God's people should prepare in their hearts. Look what he says here and verse 11. And he says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." He says, "Therefore, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But get this, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." My friends, how does the church prepare for this coming, the rapture, which will be before His second coming? We know that's on the calendar. The rapture must take place first. But if that coming is imminent, which we believe it is, how can we prepare for it? I believe right here we see it. We need to understand that it will be gone before we know it. Before we know it. And church, may we be sobered and encouraged and motivated not to live a life of fear, but to live a life of liberty for Jesus Christ. Do you know the Christian life, church, is a life of liberty? Did you get that? It's a life of liberty for living for Jesus Christ. It's not a license to sin, but it's a liberty that God gives us to live for His glory. To cast off that darkness. To be sober that the night is far spent and the day is at hand. To put on that light and to live honestly and knock off this riotous living and this disunity and all this other stuff that just distracts from the purpose that God has given us, the mission of going forth and being the light that we need to be. As we meditate on this passage of Scripture, I believe the message to the disciples were, as I said this morning, it's time to get to work. It's time to get to work. We got a great work to do. We got a great task to do. And I believe that what Jesus, those angels were saying, listen, don't stand there gazing. Don't let that be your focus. Listen, you have a job and a task and it has been given and you're going to be given the power to do it. And so let's go do it. And let the Lord use us to be encouraged that He is coming again. I hope that what I'm saying tonight is a way of encouragement. But more importantly, let's listen to the words of God tonight. Are we ready? Listen, I don't mean to be. I don't mean to be saying things that seem heavy and just maybe just a little deep, if you will, tonight. But I'm just going to share this with you because it's just it's fresh on my heart, fresh on my mind, and God's just wants me to say it, so I'm going to say it. But it was an emotional day for me yesterday and Joanna. And we had the opportunity, if you can use that terminology, God opened a door for us to go and visit Brother Mike Hanke. You'll remember, some of you may remember Mike. Mike spoke at our church last year during February. And he did a great job. He preached our couples banquet, and then he preached for us on Sunday morning. And I believe I remember he preached on the giant, David and Goliath, I recall. But Mike is nothing like he was that day. For almost a year now, Brother Mike has been incapacitated there in a rehabilitation place because of severe brain damage. He had a very severe attack due to his diabetes. I don't know all the details, but basically he did flatline, and they were able to resuscitate him, but he lost a lot of oxygen. There was a certain amount of time that he went without oxygen, and it caused severe brain damage. So right now, Mike is laying in the bed, and Mike can only communicate by blinking his eyes. And he blinks his eyes once to say yes, and he blinks his eyes twice to say no. And he can somewhat smile. And I did my best to make him smile. And thankfully, I succeeded. He smiled a couple times. I told him that I know what he's thinking. I said, I could see it in your eyes, and you want to give me $1 million, Mike. I know you do. He thought that was funny. He smiled. But as I looked at Mike and I looked at his life, I was reminded, number one, that our life is so fragile. And as a reminder to me that the life you have today, use it all for the glory of God. Because Christian, God might have you in a bed tomorrow where all you can do is blink yes or no. And we can't pretend that this day is something that we can boast in or tomorrow, but I believe God is calling every Christian here tonight to be about the Father's business and to giving the Lord our hearts and serving Him until He comes. Not losing our focus, not losing our motive, that Jesus has said, go! I'm coming back soon, but in the meantime, go and do my work. Make much of me. And by the way, Mike Hanke did that. If God decides to miraculously lift him up, I want to tell you, Mike, till that day that he almost died, to that day, Mike was faithful. He was an encourager to me. He helped me. In fact, it was because of him. God used him as an instrument, and that was one of the ways I got him to laugh. I said, Mike, I said, brother, I want to tell you something. And of course, he doesn't look around. They don't know if he's blind or not, but he's just looking up and kind of into space. But I can tell, he can tell he's listening. I said, Mike, I said, it was because of you that I have my wife today. And I said, you, because what he did, we were going on that New York missions trip that summer. And the college and career was, and I didn't want to go. I was single. A lot of details there, but I was just kind of scared to go. Joanna was going, and I was just afraid of Joanna, okay? No, I really wasn't. But I'd gotten cold feet. We'd been dating. I, you know, called it off for a time, and I just didn't know about it. Mike said, Brinson, I need you on this trip. And all along, found out later, he really didn't need me. He could have gone. But he wanted me to go because he knew, he saw what Joanna and I had and what the potential we had. He said, I need you to go and lead the team and drive the van. I need you to go. I said, all right, I'll go. I want you to know it was on that trip, as much as I'm breathing before you, it was on that trip that God spoke to me, not in an audible voice, but through the power of His Spirit. He spoke to me and said, Brinson, Joanna is the girl you are to marry. And in my heart, I did say amen. But then I was going to say, and then in my heart, I also said, Lord, could you please tell her daddy that? And he did, thank God. But I'm so glad Mike impacted me. And I told him, I said, Mike, it's because of you, man. Joanne and I are married. We got 3 kids. We've been in ministry. And boy, Mike, in his condition, just broke out with a big old smile. And he can't talk, but he said, I just wanted to say, oh, God, thank you for Brother Mike. Hey, my point is, Jesus gave them a message. Disciples, get to work. I'm coming. You don't know if you have another day. Let's be about our Father's business. Let's be about what the Lord's going to do. And until He comes, whether He calls me home, whether He puts me in a hospital, whatever He does, when I go out, I can know I left out finishing well. So tonight, can I just leave you with that challenge? Determine tonight that the best way to prepare for the coming of the Lord or for Him to call you home or for the rapture, whatever, the best way to prepare it. It's just to say, Lord, my life is Yours. I want to be used for Your glory. I want to be on the mission team, Your mission team of reaching this world with the gospel. And that's where you and I just say, Lord, yes. Let's pray. Father, You know my heart is heavy. Seeing Brother Mike there, and I know I don't understand it all. I know You're sovereign. And I don't doubt Your sovereignty. I don't doubt Your goodness. But Father, I do wonder about my own heart at times. And I wonder about perhaps folks here tonight, Lord, that are just living in mediocrity. Just floating or with the current, not seeking to live a life for You, not living in the light of Your coming, not living in the light of this time is short, not living in the light of eternity. Lord, would You awaken us tonight? Oh God, would You awaken us? Awaken me, awaken the church. Set a fire in our soul, oh God. Now I pray that we would be used for Your great glory. And that when You do call, or when You sound the trumpet, or when You call our number, we'll leave here finishing our course well for Your glory. Father, that's my prayer for this church, for everyone here. Lord, would You awaken us? This has to be a work of Your Spirit, Lord. We can't manufacture it. So, Lord, I'm asking You. We're digging our ditches. And we're asking You to fill them up. Oh God, help us.